So at the very end of Siman Rishman Beis, there is a, it takes up two pages in a standard edition of the Shulchan Aruch. You have the Pilpul van Hagos HaRav Isser Vehetem Yerav HaMechaber, which is from the Shach. The Shach wrote a collection of his Aros on Psak Halacha. So there's the long edition, and there's the Kitzer edition. So the long edition is 1.5 pages, and the Kitzer edition is half a page. But in the Sefer Psak Mechuvos, he goes through the Kitzer edition. So I figured we'd use the Kitzer edition to go through some of his things. So at the end, in the Shulchan Aruch section, at the end of Siman Reish Mem Beis, which is of course right before Siman Reish Mem Gimel, so there.
Some of these.
Okay. That makes sense. So there is the Kitzer Ban Hagas Haraus Isser V'Heter Ha'Ola Mikol Shasa Poskim. It comes up, that comes out from learning all Shasa Poskim, Yishar Asaf Harav HaMechaber Verucha Hu Kavtzam, which was collected by the Shach. So this is the Shach's collection of issues on Har in the idea, Hora. So in the Pesach Mechuvos here, he says that this was that used to be, you have to know this in order to get smicha. That this is part of the smicha b'chinas. It wasn't part of my smicha b'china, but to know the derech ha-psach, or how to balance things out, is very important. So some of it is things we learn, some of it is not. So Aleph doesn't have much commentary on it, as it is something we just learned. Now he does add in here in the Pesachim Lechuvos that the idea that we have the Kali HaPesach that the Shach brings down, he says, is only in Machlokasim that take place after the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, or something that just didn't make it into the Shulchan Aruch or the Ramah. Right? Only these Kalim that we're going to learn don't work against the Shulchan Aruch or for the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, we pass along the Shulchan Aruch, there's assumption, he quotes the idea, assumption that it was written with Ruach HaKodesh or whatever, but the Shulchan Aruch has much more standing than just, it's not just another book, that has more standing. Now, there are points, and he acknowledges that there are times when people disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. That, you know, the Mishnah Berurah, or the Shach, or the Taz, etc., they themselves disagree with the Mishnah Berurah. But to try to figure out what those kolam are, that you can't really do. I mean, that's like kind of it's too hard to figure out what those kolam are. So the kolam are, all things being equal, outside the realm of the Shulchan Aruch. That's that seems to be the way he records the rules going on here in the Shach's list.
What so, abbreviation is in the heading, Yud Zion, Yud Yud Aleph. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
You don't know.
That
looks like Yizichro or something.
Yizichro,
I'm not sure,
yeah.
I'm not sure what you mean, that these, what's written in the Shulchan Aruch is the Shulchan Aruch, and then these are things that didn't make it into the Shulchan Aruch?
Yeah, that if there is the Shulchan Aruch has whatever it has, and there are some details that didn't make it in, that you can't find the corresponding sif.
And so you have to paskin.
So you have to paskin those cases as they come up.
Or it could be something new.
Or something new.
It wasn't.
Or something post. Or a machlokas about the Shulchan Aruch. I think what he's really talking about is machlokas about what did the Shulchan Aruch mean by this. We have machlokas, right? Mishnah Berurah or Shulchan. So how do we paskin in a machlokas Mishnah Berurah or Shulchan? Right? So these column are then going to come into play for those kinds of things. I think that's what he means. So number one is sort of a repeat as to something that we learned in Siman Kuf, in Siman Reish Mem Beis, earlier. Where was that? No. Where was that? The Ramah in Siman in Sif Reish in Siman Lamed Aleph. So the Chacham Sha'aser, it's probably sound familiar to you, right here in Aleph. Chacham Sha'aser v'chala ho'rasav v'nisfasha, that the Chacham who asered something and the psak stuck, meaning it's now pasuk, this thing is well, usser in this case. So mutr lisha lisheni, you're allowed to ask somebody else about it. Rak sheyodi uhu sheasar rishon. You just have to tell him that the first person asked it already. V'mavar sherishon tab dvar mishnah o shetab shekladas. And if it becomes clear that the first person made a mistake, v'alderech shenisbayer b'choshen mishpat simin chafei, in a way that's described in Choshen Mishpat, Yachol Hatir, he could be matir. I mean, if the first person made a mistake, so then it's a psak that was wrong, and therefore the psak that is wrong is not a psak. But if it's not clear that he made a mistake, Rakshiyishal Kabbalah Lahatir, he just has, oh, I have a mesorah that such a thing is mutter. Oshu Cholik Alav, or he just disagrees, meaning you read it this way, I read it this way. B'shikladas, Afilu Harishon Chozer Umodil Advar, even if the first person backs down and agrees to the second person's idea, Eino yachol lahatir. You can't be matir it. V'im heitiru eino mutter deshavya chaticha deisur. And if he does matir it, it's not mutter. It doesn't work because that thing was already declared to be us. The shavya that we compare it to a chaticha deisur, a item that is usur, and you can't just declare that thing to be mutter. So psak stands in terms of an object. When it's a psak regarding a chetza, that we're going to declare that psak to be binding. Even when the second person is greater than the first one, then he can't be matirid. He still can't be matirid. However, and then v'yish matir megadol mimenu. But there are those that are matirid in that case.
What does minyan mean? That to one person?
Yeah. So
minyan. You talk about one cord is greater number.
Yeah. So what does that mean? So the shach in Beis actually tells you what he thinks it means. He says perish ein lo kol kach tamidim kamol chavero. He has more tamidim. That's the way he reads gadol b'minyan. I'm not sure if that is a if everybody agrees to that, but that's at least the way the shach reads it. So the yishneim yoshem beis medrash. But if they're both in the beis medrash and there's not a psak that has set that has been set down yet, so then the second person can be matirid v'chol zeb osu davar atzma v'al ma'isa acher. It is only with that particular object, but if it's another action, it's another incident, so then a new psak could be set. Okay, so those are I think
familiar. So even if they're equal, once he does it, it does it. I'm not sure what the last.
Yes, one. If the last case was the last. Last case was either for two things. One is if it hasn't been decided, so then you could still go with both of them, and only with that object. But if right, there's an issue with the tuna fish, right? So those are claimed. How could we matter tuna fish as well as a dinner of Hank and Osir? So Roshatha said, yeah, he might have ossered those cans of tuna fish in the 50s, but it doesn't mean that he's ossered, it doesn't apply to the new tunas that exist today. Right? We have to make a psak with regards to those things. The other thing they talked about was, right, but when he does paskin on an object, meaning a woman comes, I think the most obvious object that doesn't apply come up so much anymore with like lungs. So he went to the rabbi, and the rabbi said, "Oh, that lung is it means the animal's a trefa." And then you go to somebody else, and they say, "By the way, what do you think of this?" And he says, "Oh, it's kosher." Oh, but that rabbi says the trefa. Oh, he's wrong, right? So why was he wrong? So was he wrong because he didn't know how to trefos, or was he wrong that he? That he didn't apply it in the correct way, so then he's wrong. But if he has a claim and it's just a machlokas between the two, so then the first one is going to stand. What if the second one is greater? So that's a machlokas. The Shach quotes it as being a machlokas, whether if the second person is clearly greater than the first, whether his opinion would have standing even against the first person's opinion. The chakira on that was a machlokas to why this is the halacha. Is the halacha because of this idea of shavya chaticha di isura, that, well, it's usur, and it's just been declared usur, you can't do anything about it? Or is it idea of kavod to the first Talmud Chacham? So if it's Shaviyah Chaticha Dizur, so then if he's royal lipsak, even if the second person is greater than him, he paskin, it's done. But if it's the idea of kavod to the first rabbi, he says, well, okay, but, you know, it's one thing if he has machlokas with somebody else, but if it's the Gadol Dor, passes against him, so it's no lack of kavod to the first person to pass like the Gadol Dor. So that's the machlokas that the Shach is recording here. Okay? Alright, so that we covered already. Sif Bezna. So Shnei Tamidi Chachamim Shechalukim Zayim Zayim. Let's say you have two Tamidi Chachamim that argue with one another, right? Bituma, Vitara, or Isser Heter, right? Whether with issues of Tuma Vitara or Isser Heter. Now, even that is already an interesting idea. Let's just read one more line. Im Hudavar Torah Halach Achar Hamachmer. If it's a Dinda Oraisa, we follow the more Machmer opinion. Okay, so that's the idea that we know Safek to Oraisa L'chumra. Now the Shach, right, we assume that that for sure is the case by Yisr Beheter when it comes to Kashrus, right? So Safek to Oraisa L'chumra. By Tuma Vitara, the Gemara gives us another way of deciphering ways of resolving a Safek in Tuma Vitara. You know what that is? So Safek Tuma versus Harabim is Tahor, and Safek Tuma versus Yachid is Tameh. That the Gemara declares as the way that one is supposed to resolve Sfeikos. But it has been resolved with Safek and Chush and Mishpat. So we round it out. How do we resolve, right? There's a question, a Safek, who has money, right? So how do we resolve that Safek? Right. That possession is 9/10 of the law, or perhaps the whole law, until there is a raya that goes against it. Remember, that was the first, when he learned Pabin Atsin or Shaftashir, that was the first thing he said for the whole year. It says there's three different types of sfeikos in halacha, and they're resolved in three different ways. That's the Shad the Pasuk, being dam ladam, being din ladin, being neg lenega. That being dam ladam is an issue, that was part of the chah, is that that's an isser meheter din. Dan Lida, even though there's a Tuma Tara aspect, will rule it as a Yoredei issue. Bein Din Ladin is Chosh Mishpat, which is ruled by Motzi Vechaber Lavaraya, and Bein Nega Lenega is a Taros issue. When we say Safik Doraisa, Safik Tuma versus Aram versus Tahor versus Juzakatami. Now, the truth is, when you go through the Gemaras and come up with these halachas of Tuma Tara, probably 80% of the time, we do follow the Safek D'Oraisa L'chumra route as opposed to the Rabban. Right? The reason you would go Rosh Yachin versus Rosh Hashanah is because neither way is a chumra. I mean, it's a chumra and a kula. Every time you do Tuma V'Tara, it's a chumra and a kula. Right? It's a chumra that we're going to rule you Tameh, but it's going to be a kula that, well, now you're going to be Pater from Korban Pesach or something like that. There's a lot of it comes out to be makel, so therefore you can't really say Safek D'Oraisa L'chumra straight up. But most of our shailas of Tuma V'Tara are Isser V'Heter, meaning the issues of Tumas Kohanim, for example. A Kohen could go to some place or not to some place, so we would assume, and that's probably what the Shach is driving at here, Safek D'Oraisa L'chumra according to the regular rules. Okay. So imhu devar Torah, so halacha achra machmer. Afilu hu katri men v'chachum v'nyu. We're going to follow the more machmer opinion, even if he is katan in chachma and minyan, even if he is the lesser of the two. Perish she'en lo kol kach tamidim kamo chavero. Meaning that there is that he doesn't have so many tamidim like his friend has. So the who's considered greater, the one who has more tamidim. So the in the Pesachim Mitzvos here, he points out that this is actually against the Ramah. Right? The Sif, after mentioning that nobody disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch, well, right away this Shach is disagreeing with the Ramah. The Ramah in Choshen Mishpat Simin Chafei paskins that by a dinda oraisa, you would still follow the gadol v'chachma safik d'oraisa between two positions. So you would follow the gadol when you have the two. So that's the machlokas Rama and Shach. Another issue that
the Rama says what?
The Rama says that you would follow if you have a safik d'oraisa. And about how to paskin in a case de oraisa, and one person is greater than the other, you would follow the greater person, even though that person might be kula. Yeah, even though that person might be mekel. Now, it is also important to keep in mind that there is not all sfeikos are created equal. When you talk about a safek de oraisa, so what would be an example of a safek de oraisa? What? Chelev. Okay. So I'm looking at chelev. So you mean I have this cup of white stuff, and I want to know, is that chelev or is it chuma? Right. That's okay. Good. That's a classic safek d'oraisa. But what is that? What is the question there? What's the shaila about that chelev?
Where it came from, an animal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where it came from, the animal, or Well, actually, there's two possibilities as to what the Shiloh might be. One Shiloh might be is, what is it? Right? So that's not a... You wouldn't have a machlokas amongst Rabbanim as to what it is. It's just everyone looks at it and kind of scratches their head and says, well, I don't know. Where did you see it? Where did it come from last? So that's what we refer to as a suffix in mitzius. Right? That is a suffix in reality. We don't know what it is. So therefore, we're going to have to say suffix the rice look over. But... When there's another that same issue of chelev and shuman could also have the following machlokas: is that part of the body produce chelev or shuman? So that's not a machlokas in mitzias; that's a machlokas in halacha. Right? You have two opinions as to what that particular thing is. So are they both considered the same thing? So they seem to be put together by this shach. The shach doesn't seem to differentiate between those two over the course of this discussion here. But there are those that do make that distinction. There is a Chazanish in Simin Kufnun in Yerodaya, which is his Kavod Rabba with Tamid Chachamim in Hagosis and Heter, where he says, "Venira the Had the Amar Divishel Torah Halach Achar Hamachmer, that that which we say that when it's a Dindo Reis we follow the Machmer opinion, Eino Ella B'Shein Echar Mehen Rabba." That's only if one of the opinions is not your Rebbe. Aval echa mina chachamim hu rabba. But if one of those opinions is your Rebbe, halach achrav af lahakel. You have the right to follow him even lahakel, even if he's the more makil opinion. Umikri rabba, and he's considered your Rebbe. Kolshu karov lo b'shumei b'shmaos of tami beruva matzos, and he's called your Rebbe so long as he is close to you, and you listen to what he has to say regularly. So what's that coming to exclude, by the way? The Chazanish says language like that. The Chazanish says, he's called your Rebbe so long as he's the one you ask Chaylos to regularly. So the issue that we kept confronting over the course of learning Simon Rishman Beis is that he kept throwing in this term, Rebbe Muvak. Oh, that applies if he's your Rebbe Muvak, and it's not. So Chazanish seems to be avoiding that issue. Right? It's not just if he's your Rebbe Muvak and that you learned all your Torah from him. No, if he's the one that you ask your Shilas from, you're a B'nai Yeshiva, you're a Talmud, you learned in some Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and I live in B'nai Brak. So you ask all your Shilas to one particular person. So, okay, you can follow him even on a Safik Doraisa Lakula. Even if it wouldn't be a suffix d'oraisa in terms of what the mitzvah is, it was suffix d'oraisa in terms of what the din is. So if your rabbi paskins one particular way, assuming that he is a rabbi who's entitled to an opinion, so then you have the right to follow him, even though you know that it's a suffix. Meaning, I don't know if he's right, that's just what he's telling me. But, okay, one has the right to follow him, even though it's a shaila of a d'oraisa. Uvazet, right? Imi shnei chacham krovim lo rishus biyadu lahachzik barosav shal echad mehem lahachzik karaba v'ayim darmina rotzalasos k'divrei mishami osav v'ayinu lahachzik karaba. Right, and if they're both close, if you have access to both, you have the right to choose. Yeah, I like that rabbi, and I'm going to paskin like that rabbi. Now he goes on and says that's applies even if he's dead. Meaning, even if your rabbi who you paskin like, even if he passed away, you have the right to continue to paskin like him. So long as, and he puts in one major exception at the end, so long as there is no Beistin that paskin on the case. And if Beistin paskin on a particular case, then you lose the right for that. So what is the modern day applications? Well, there's a famous Gemara that describes this, that there's a rabbi who paskined on a din d'oraisa, there's machlokas on a din d'oraisa, and there was a rabbi who paskined against everybody else, and we have recorded that everybody followed that rabbi. So most famously,
the stove.
So the stove is a little different because we don't have people pass like Rebbe Lezer and Dachnai. That comes up, that's part of this discussion, but that's not the case I was thinking of. Rav Moshe talks about two Gemaras more. Those two Gemaras in the context of introduction to Igros Moshe, so he talks about that one. Then he also goes on and talks about the Rebbe Lezer de Mila. What's Rebbe Lezer de Mila? Come on. No? Rebbe Lezer matered Machshiri Mila in his town. Meaning the
carry them on Shabbos,
not just to carry things on Shabbos. He permitted. He said, not only are you allowed to do a bris on Shabbos, we assume you're allowed to do a bris, but it's tuchuya. Meaning you minimize it as much as possible. You have to have the knife and the kid in the same place. You can't carry anything on Shabbos. That's the way we pass it. But he paskin that even machshiri mila are permitted on Shabbos, the preparations of mila, so much so that he permitted people to cut down the tree in order to get a fire, in order to sharpen a knife, in order to, so all of those things were were done in that town. And the Gemara tells us, as a reward for following their Rebbe, that town survived. I think there was like a, there were various massacres and pogroms, and that town was able to survive. I think that's what their merit was. I mean, the Gemara is approves of that practice. So that's the proof. The Chumash, I don't think, quotes that. I'm not sure if he quotes that proof. No, but others do, as proof to that idea, that the chazan, that one has the right to follow one. But if there is a basin that paskins the halacha one particular way, so then you gotta paskin that way. Once it's paskin on a Klal Yisrael level, so then it becomes a problem. So the equivalent of a Klal Yisrael level is everybody decides in accordance with one particular din. So,
I think this is decided already. You said that no one holds like him.
No one holds like him. But in his town, I mean, he only has everybody else. Yeah. Right, so what nowadays, you can't go along and say, oh, I can pass like Rebbe Eliezer. I think that sheet of Rebbe Eliezer made it into like the conservative response on driving on Shabbos.
Huh.
But don't think it works that way. But it hadn't yet been decided. So I think I think the idea of like a mechitz and shul is an example of something that was decided. Meaning, in the 20s and 30s and 40s, one could make a case. It was an ongoing machlokas. What should be, whether it's okay to have a shul without a mechitz or whether it's not. Once it was decided, I mean, once there was a, you know, OU placed the ban and there were tshuvas written on it, and the person from Detroit published his book, yeah, the case for mechitza, right? Once it and collected all shittos from all over the country to put together in that book. I mean, once it became decided, so then that has the level of being considered a beast in Haggadah. So that's I think that would that's pshat l'chazon ish. Now beyond that, you still have the question that's kind of hung out there. Well, okay, well, what if you get it wrong? Which gets you to that other Gemara about the Machlokas Reb Eliezer and the Chachamim about the Tanur Shalachnoi, right? That the Paschal is saying Reb Eliezer is right, and the Chachamim say, well, Lo B'Shamayim, we don't care what you say, we're going to be right. So how do you have the right to pass like the Chachamim against Reb Eliezer? So there's many ways of interpreting it, but the but Rav Elchanan in the Kuntres Diri Sofrim in section Dalit, so he records the idea that there are Rishonim that say, and I think we've talked about this in Shul a few times. There are Rishonim that say that you have the right to get wrong every once in a while. That in order to preserve, based on the Kiddush Yaran, and I think there's a quotes of Ramban as well. That we did this in First Seder that we did on this in when we learned Parsha Shoftim. That part that is sort of built into the system is the idea that, okay, one might get it wrong every once in a while, but it's still integral to the system, is the idea of following Derech HaPsak as opposed to thinking we know better. So that probably is not
the cause of. You have to follow the wrong Psak, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. I mean, we follow our Rabbanim, and even though Kalpei Shamaya, so to speak, even though if you ask the basin in heaven who's right and who's wrong, he'll say Rabbi Eliezer is right. Still, we follow the Lo B'Shamayim, right? We follow the Shita of Arabanim. And I think, Sefer HaChinuch on the mitzvah of following Kiyasur, when you have something far off, Lo Tassur, don't sway away from the Rabbanim, Ben Yamin Ben Mismal. And he says that, even though it's possible that you're going to get it wrong, still it's more important for the system to maintain the integrity of Masorah rather than people going out and saying, oh, but I think I know better, etc. There are other ways of answering that Gemara also. There are other ways of saying that, well, Rebbe Eliezer, that the Gemara, that Hashem said that Rebbe Eliezer is right to make Rebbe Eliezer feel better, but he wasn't really right. Really, he passed like the Chav. Or there's many different opinion, meaning that there's different ways of following halacha, and everybody's right. So there's several different approaches. I think I spent a couple of years, maybe we should do it again. But I think like 6 or 7 years ago, we spent like the summer Mincha Ma'ariv Shir discussing this topic.
Well, you can't really know who's right.
Well, you can know if there's a nevuah.
Yeah, but I mean nowadays, let's say. So you're sort of, correct.
Nowadays you can't know we're right. Really, so what gives you the right to say, well, I'm going to follow my Rebbe Lekula? You're happy to do that. How do you know? When you know that there's an achlokas out there. I mean, I know other people hold differently, and in my mind it's a suffix, but my Rebbe said that I can do it. So how do you have the right to do that? How does the Chazon Ish work? So the Chazon Ish would work in conjunction with the idea from Rebbe Chanan that no, that the Torah tells you to follow your Rebbe, even if in your mind it's a suffix. And therefore, because it's a suffix lahalacha, maybe you should be machmir, tells you no. Following the Rabbanim is more important than suffik d'oraisa l'chavra.
But you're following your Rebbe in particular.
Correct.
Which sort of leads to this whole, this kodidu thing. Everybody follows their Rebbe.
The whole lotus kodidu thing.
That kind of
thing
leads to many different non-uniform.
Right. So lotus kodidu is not that big of a fear. I feel this is sort of on the hierarchy of considerations is pretty low on the list.
Okay, good.
That's my impression. And lotus kodidu really comes up when it really confronts you as being a disruption. That you have half the shul doing one thing, half the shul doing another thing. And even in that case, many poskim zmanas say, it doesn't really bother everybody. Everybody knows that there's different opinions and it's not a big deal.
Different places.
So, yeah. Okay, so what else does this happens to be a pretty thick sifbeis here. And the Shach has a couple of other things. It says, V'imakatan hu tamido eno halacha ketamid b'makam harav. And if the lesser of those two positions is the Talmud of the other one, so then we would pass him like the Rebbe. Ein alacha k'talmud makom harav, af pi shu machmer b'isr Torah, v'mischakim ha-talmud k'rabo shavahu lo. When you have a Rebbe and a Talmud, and the Talmud takes the machmer position, the Rebbe takes the mekel position on the d'oraisa, in that case you would still follow the Rebbe. That's what the Shach, that's his psach. Can't really think of how that would come up. V'imahu davar d'rabanan. Okay, so that's with regard to suffik d'oraisa l'chumra. What about if it's a din d'rabanan? So im shnehem shavim shalom noda ezimehen gadol. That if they're both equal and we don't know which one is greater than the other one, halach achar hamekel. You could follow the more mekel position. V'im echar mehem gadol b'chachma over minyan. So let's say one of them is greater. V'hu mekel, and he's the mekel position. Right, let's say the greater person is the mekel one. Afilu asu meisa l'hachmer k'divir katan mahadrinan uvda. Even if you practiced Mar Machmir, you have the right to follow the more makel opinion. Right? Suffik the Rais Lachumra, Suffik the Rabban Lakula, when the person holding Lakula is the bigger Talmud Chacham, certainly have the right to go makel, even if at one time you were holding Lachumra. However, what if it's the opposite? What about if the more makel position is also the lesser? Is Katan Beminion, the opposite of Gadol, the Bechacham of Minion? You have the right to rely on the lenient opinion in a difficult situation. So it's not carte blanche, oh, I found an opinion out there someplace that holds on this din d'rabbanan l'kula. It doesn't work that way. You would follow the greater of the two, but that position is good to have out there sometimes b'shas achak. If one of them is greater in Chachma, the other one is greater in Minyan. I mean, the bigger Talmud Chacham doesn't have more Talmidim. Again, he sticks in that pshat as well, that he has more Talmidim. Even if he didn't say his opinion.
Let's read a little further.
Certainly, if most of Tamidim say like him, we consider the one with the greater amount of students to be bigger than the Chachma. That Minyan takes precedence over Chachma. Okay. If one of them is older, he's not called gadol. B'shvil zeh, v'chein somkin al Talmud b'makom harav b'isr d'rabbanon imhu shasach chak. You could even pass on like the Talmud, even against the Rebbe, if it's a shasach. And by din d'rabbanon, it's a shasach chak. V'chein makom machlokas yachid v'ravim imasek yachid lahachmir madrinan uvda v'im haravim machmirim. If the majority is the machmir one, somkin al yachid b'isr d'rabbanon b'shasach chak. You have the right to rely on the lesser opinion b'shasach chak. So something d'rabbanon. It's not something the Rabban Lakula is carte blanche. You just follow the most lenient position. We still take into effect who is the more mach, who is the greater of those shekels. We would look to see who has a greater probability of being right. But the more makel position is out there for us to follow in shasal chak situations. Now here he does spell it. He gives you a whole. pretty long piece as to there's not all, again, not all sfeikos and rabbanans are considered equal. There's a suffix in mitzvahs, and then there's suffix when you can just you can close your eyes. I mean, can I say Rasulovsky used to make this point by a sfeik sfeika, that when it has the right to always go make lakula when it comes to a sfeik if you have double level down. So we have this idea of a kohen who Ishus kohen who's pregnant. So we paskin on the books that she's allowed to go to funerals because of a sfeik sfeika. And even though, now it's a question what the issue should be in the first place, because the child shouldn't really be considered tame, but maybe, whatever, that's for another time. But with regards to that sfeik sfeika, so what are the two sfeikos? Number one is that maybe the baby is a girl, and even if the baby is a boy, maybe the baby is going to end up being a nephil. It's not going to be a viable child. So therefore, she has the right to go to funerals. So I remember when I was in Rusavolovsky, when he went to Avelis, Rusavolovsky pointed out, he said, yeah, but nowadays, where you can easily check the sex of the baby, so you don't have the right to just close your eyes and say, oh, don't tell me the sex, and I'm still going to rely on the sfeik sfeika. Mm-hmm. If you're an Ishus Kohen, one has the responsibility to find out what the sex is, but you probably don't have to go out of your way to have a sonogram as early as possible in order to find out. But once it's out there, meaning the doctor writes down what the sex is, it's just the doctor just doesn't tell you what he or she is writing down. So to close my eyes and say, oh, I don't want to know, in order to maintain this fake sfeika when the information is out there to be available to know, that's not called a suffix derabanan. That's just called closing your eyes to what the reality is. So that's one example of a...
So I understand the question, but I thought pregnant females are not supposed to go to funerals.
No, so there is unclear where the... That's like a urban legend, so to speak, about not going to funerals. Perhaps it's based on this din. There's no reason why they shouldn't go to funerals. Perhaps the source of that idea comes from this whole Torah about a wife of a Kohen going to funerals or not.
I don't know, but Rabbi Rifkin, who was a high stature in St. Louis, told when my father ran, my father or mother told my wife was pregnant with one of our children and said,
really?
I told her not to go, yeah.
Interesting.
All right, let's do more research. I believe it is a. Rabbi Ari Zivotofsky does the what I call MythBusters, but he calls it something else in the mm-hmm. magazines. I believe he has an essay on this topic about what the source is. You can track it down online someplace. Another example that he suggests here as being an issue is if the suffix is a possibility of an issur d'oraisa. I mean, what is the suffix? Is it a suffix d'rabbanan, but the possibility, the suffix is about whether one might lead one to then violate the din d'oraisa. So that also, if what exactly is at stake also would play into this, but those are the basic rules of suffix d'oraisa l'chumah, suffix d'rabbanan l'kula. I guess we'll pick up with some other things next week.